If this is something you guys want to get involved next year, make sure you go to StateFarmArena.com. They have all the information there for you. This is an absolute party. DJs, music, dancing, fun, all for a great, great cause. Football is great, too. I mean, it's not a charitable event, except if you're one of the players getting paid. But we got to talk some college football and some pro football, too, on the WadeFord.com hotline with our good buddy Joe DeLeon, always nice enough to join me on my Saturday programs and on the weeknights as well. Joe, appreciate the time as always.
Of course, Chris. Always great to connect. And so far, we've got a pretty popping slate of Saturday games. It's going to finish up with that Oklahoma-Tennessee matchup for a great end to the night.
Yeah, let's go back to last night real quick. A really fascinating game, OT finish. Illinois came out of nowhere kind of to a 4-0 start. They take down Nebraska, and Dylan Raiola, who had another great game, just couldn't match the firepower at the end. Was this more about Illinois asserting their dominance or Nebraska slipping one up?
I think both can be really true in this situation. One, I think it was really proven that Illinois team, defensively, they're tremendous. They play really, really aggressive downhill defense, and their secondary is great. They knew in this game that they didn't need to send a ton of pressure because they knew their secondary was able to create turnovers and force Dylan Raiola, a true freshman, albeit in a very talented one, force him to make those mistakes, like the interception that he had, some of the tight throws that he tried to fit in contested spots, some of the sacks that he took, especially the one in overtime. Where Nebraska did slip up is just that we're reminded Raiola might be this next coming of Patrick Mahomes, but he's still a true freshman. He's still going to make mistakes. He's still going to be risky. I think the future is so bright, and I think the way that they started the year is an indicator that next season is going to be huge for them. But we just need to be patient before the Cornhuskers really start to hit their stride.
We got USC Michigan in the big house. USC, a 4.5-point favorite going into that one. Can Miller Moss put up enough offense at Michigan?
I think that they do. What I keep pointing to for evidence of how this game's going to play out, I think they're covering, based on how Texas played when they went to the big house and they took on Michigan. Now, I know Alex Orji stepping in at quarterback, and that's an unexpected twist that Lincoln Riley and De'Anthony Lynn have to prepare for, but we witnessed a team that's very similarly built offensively, explosive receivers, a quick decision-making quarterback, getting the ball out quick. Michigan wasn't able to keep up with them when they went down a couple of scores. They couldn't generate the splash plays to get themselves back into it. I think if Zachariah Branch and Tyron Hudson, if that receiving group puts up enough big plays and they go up by 14, the game's going to be over. Michigan is just not built to scrap their way back into a game unless they take an early lead and they just bleed the clock, which it seems like they're going to try to do with Alex Orji.
Talking all things pro and college ball with our buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network. Make sure you check out his stuff there. Only really one game of concern here in the state of Georgia. That is Georgia Tech going to Louisville. They're ranked number 19, 2-0. Does Tech and Haynes King have enough firepower to get in this one, or is Louisville going to roll?
I actually really think that Georgia Tech could win this one, but at the very least, I believe that they're going to cover. They're one of my favorites. Betting picks this week. I got them at a 10.5-point dog. I don't believe the lines move too much.
I'm actually looking at it at 10 right now, Joe.
Yeah, well, so it's moved a little bit, but a lot of people are realizing what I'm realizing here is that Louisville's overhyped. They played two games. We don't have enough evidence to really prove that they're 10 points better than Georgia Tech, who Louisville, very similarly built roster to the one that Florida State has. We could find out if they have some continuity, chemistry issues, just like Florida State. More importantly, though, why I think they cover is that they play so good on defense, they're going to get the stops that they need. They're also going to run the ball and bleed out the clock the way that they can to keep that within a close range. So, again, I really think at the very, very least they're going to keep this thing close. That Georgia Tech team proved to me in week zero, that they're a hard out. They are not going to lose by 10 points.
The big one, as you mentioned tonight, number 6 Tennessee at number 15 Oklahoma, 7:30 p.m. kick. They get the ABC ESPN window. I like Tennessee in this one, Joe. I think they're going to be able to hang up some points on Oklahoma. I know Oklahoma's got a decent quarterback situation, but I don't know if they're there yet to hang with Tennessee.
Yeah, Oklahoma's defense under Brent Venables, this might be the best one that Venables has had in his time at Oklahoma. That's really the main factor for if Oklahoma did keep this thing close, and if they did pull out the win, they force some turnovers, they get some big sacks. But I have to ride with Tennessee because Jackson Arnold, while he's made some big plays, it seems like he's not really fully there yet. He's a couple steps behind Nico Ai, who's been phenomenal. They're not really stretching the field. They're not really taking many aggressive shots. It feels like enough for them to really separate from teams. I think as we saw from Tennessee, they're putting up points in bunches. They're averaging over 300 yards per game on the ground. They are bludgeoning every single team that they play, albeit against a pretty weak schedule to start. There is a pretty clear difference between them and their opponents. Meanwhile, we're watching Oklahoma struggle a little bit with Houston, struggle a little bit with Tulane. I think that Tennessee, like you said, I think they win this game because they just have too many weapons. They've got too much explosiveness for Oklahoma to keep up.
All right, on the NFL side now, let's start here in Atlanta, Sunday Night Football. Chiefs only a three-point favorite coming into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Joe, did you see enough in the Eagles' victory for the Falcons to say that they have a shot at the champs?
I don't think that they're going to beat the Chiefs, but I think that one thing was really truly answered for me with the Falcons. For them to do what they did in Week 2, that with all of the new faces that are on that team, especially a new quarterback, that they were able to stare down adversity and they were able to come back and win that football game, that's going to be really positive for them in the end of the season. If they can play a good defensive game like the Bengals did last week against the Chiefs, if they can force Mahomes to turn the ball over late, I would feel pretty good about them marching down and scoring again. That was so impressive what Kirk Cousins did. And I think that it's going to pay dividends when they need those close spots for him to make plays and to go on a two-minute drive to win a football game.
Two struggling young quarterbacks in Caleb Williams and Anthony Richardson clashed this weekend. Which young QB gets the best there?
Man, this is really a brutal matchup to predict, and it's one of the ones that, just from a betting perspective, I'm definitely staying away from. Logic would dictate that you got to go with the slightly more experienced quarterback, but it feels like the Colts are just struggling to really get their identity on defense right now. They lost to Malik Willis last week, which is unexpected. I think so many people thought that was going to be a gimme for the Colts. And I think seeing the plays that Willis, of all people, was able to make, I feel like Caleb Williams is going to start to get more and more comfortable. Now, I know that he was really pressured hard against the Texans last week, and he was on his back often. I don't think that Colts defensive line, dealing with the injuries that they're seeing and some of the issues that they're working through, I don't think they're going to get after Caleb Williams as much. I wouldn't be shocked if this isn't a game where we're saying, wow, Caleb Williams really made a name for himself, as we were starting to say last game in the first half. He could have a really big performance.
All right, Justin Herbert's a little banged up. The Steelers, we know what their quarterback situation is looking like. Do you like the Chargers to get out of Pittsburgh with a win?
Oh, absolutely. And I know that there's a little bit of a question to be figured out, like you just said there, with Justin Herbert's injury situation. But what's been the key to their success the first 2 weeks has been the fact that they're running the ball so well. Now, I know that having Herbert's important for a matchup like this, especially with a team that's playing such good defense like the Steelers. But if they run the ball with J.K. Dobbins as well as they have in these first two games, I think that they're going to win this game. They don't need those 120 rushing yard performances that we saw from him so far. But if they're able to convert in short areas, they don't need to really outscore them by much because the Steelers aren't really putting up that many points. They're barely getting 15 out. So I think that the Chargers are going to still find a way to win that ball game because of the way that Harbaugh has this rushing attack going.
Talking all things NFL and college football with our good buddy Joe DeLeon. Make sure you check out his work on the socials as well as the Believe Podcast Network. All right, Joe, we'll call this one the Desperation Bowl, Ravens at Cowboys. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, man, talk about desperation because both these teams need to get up off the mat. You know, they both need momentum right now. I think that the Ravens are the type of team that handle adversity a lot better than the Cowboys. And we, you know, we saw that last week, the way that they played against the Saints. It felt like they gave up pretty quickly. And that's against the Saints team that is playing well, but I don't know if they're as good as they've, you know, their point totals have dictated. The Ravens, though, it feels like they just had two tough matchups and then just a brutal ending against the Raiders last week. I think that with everything that they need right now, and again, you mentioned the desperation, needing to get their first win, they're going to pull out that victory and likely a close one.
Did you buy what you saw from Arizona last week? You found the Maserati Marv and Kyler Murray connection after not finding it in week one. They get the Lions coming in, who also need not a desperation win, but you know they could certainly use a dub in this one. Do you like the Cardinals at home?
Yeah, I really like the Cardinals in this situation, and I will say I was impressed, but we have to put into, you know, everything with a grain of salt with their game that they had against the Rams. I mean, they're so battered and banged up, and then on top of that, as the game progressed, they got more injured. So they were really taking advantage of a beat-up team. I think that the Cardinals are going to be a great team this year, and I think that they're going to keep this game close. But I do definitely have to lean going with the Lions because of how well they run the football, and I just don't know if that Cardinals defense is ready to stand up and stop that rushing attack.
All right, Joe, before I let you go, a couple more games here to wrap up in the Falcons division, the NFC South. Do both the Bucs, who are taking on the Broncos at home, and the Saints, who are taking on the Eagles at home, walk out of their buildings 3-0?
Yeah, I think that the Broncos matchup for the Buccaneers is definitely the better of the two. I mean, especially how badly Bo Nix has been playing, and it just feels like they're just such a rookie team right now, and they're contingent on the performances of a rookie quarterback. It's so tough to overcome that by week three. Inversely, though, I'm excited for this Eagles matchup that the Saints have because I think that's going to be really telling for how good that Saints team is. Are we actually going to find out? Are they the real deal? They have put up some ridiculous point totals. They're breaking all these records, 240-point games. Can they actually put up these, you know, the same level of production? Can their offensive line continue to dominate on the ground the way that they did in the first two games against what's going to be a really stout defensive line for the Eagles? That, to me, is like a true, true test. The Buccaneers game is a little bit more of a gimme, but that Eagles matchup, we're going to find out who's the real deal or not.
Appreciate it. As always, Joe, make sure you check him out on socials and the Believe Podcast Network as well. Joe, we'll talk to you soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is our good buddy there, Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network. Always appreciate his time, his insight. Great stuff on both the college and the pro game. When we get back, more guests coming your way, including my exclusive conversation with Neek Dominique Wilkins. That's all coming up before we get out of here. 800,000 meals have been packed, 200,000 to go, all of that and more as we march towards 1 million meals packed. Chris Thomas with you until 4. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
That's right, 800,000 meals have been packed, and we are getting all the way up to 1 million this afternoon here. Chris Thomas with you for about another 40 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley comes your way then from the Diamond, talking all things Braves. Right now we want to welcome in our next very special guest, Tanya James, who is the Corporate Responsibility Manager here at State Farm Arena. Tanya, first of all, it's been a blast here this afternoon. I've been dancing in my seat to the great DJs and music we have going. Tell us how this event got started a couple of years back.
Sure. When the Atlanta Hawks and State Park came together for the naming rights for the arena, there was a decision made that this was going to be more than the name on the building. It was really going to be about partnership and bettering the community, and that's exactly what you see here today.
And how much has it grown since year one? I'm seeing just a flood of volunteers and red shirts everywhere, people helping out.
The first year, there was so much uncertainty. Really didn't know whether people would be interested, if it would resonate, or if they would come out. And this year, wow, Atlanta has really shown up. There are over 6,000 volunteers here today. But can you actually believe that there were 11,000 people who signed up? We had to wait list that many people.
Yeah, it's really been amazing to see when these guys get cooking, when the shift changes happen and the floor gets moving. It really does look more like a concert than a charity event. We're talking with Tanya James, Corporate Responsibility Manager here at State Farm. How important is it to showcase events like this to show that you not only understand the needs of the community but can help bring people together?
You know, it's such an opportunity at State Farm for us. It's Good Neighbor Month, and this is just part of our brand. It's what we do. It is us exhibiting good neighbor behavior in action. When we found out that the Atlanta Community Food Bank put out statistics that 1 in 10 people in Georgia and 1 in 5 kids in Georgia grapple with food insecurity, it really resonated, because food insecurity isn't just having no food at all. It's the person that doesn't know where their next meal could come from, or the child who needs to go to school, but maybe they can't concentrate because they're hungry. And hearing those causes really resonated for us. So we're so happy that so many volunteers came out to make a difference today.
It's not only those behind the scenes, but it's the front-facing members of State Farm Arena, the Atlanta Hawks, and everybody else involved that had a chance to catch up with Dominique Wilkins and Dyson Daniels. How important is it for you guys to showcase that those men and women are interested in the cause as well?
When we bring people together, we really show that we have more in common. You know, we're more alike than we are unalike. We see influencers, people from government and politics. We see people who are involved in sports and entertainment. Everyone really just comes out and donates their time to show that in one day, as one community, we can pack 1 million meals and really make a difference. It makes people lay everything down and focus on those things that are most central to everyone.
When it comes to what's potential, I mean, this thing has the potential to be. I mean, you talk about 6,000 in here. This thing could be 15, 20,000 strong. When you see the success and the momentum building, how excited does it make everybody involved?
I am so excited to see everyone involved in Atlanta. At State Farm, we actually saw the success of this event over the years. And so today we're packing 1 million meals in Atlanta. Yesterday we packed 100,000 meals in Dallas. This month we've packed 100,000 meals in Phoenix. And we also packed another 1 million meals in our home headquarters of Bloomington, Illinois. Because we know that when we feed people, we contribute to a safer, stronger, better educated community. And so wherever we're located, we really want to be that State Farm good neighbor who is there.
Talking with Tanya James, Corporate Responsibility Manager here with State Farm, as we are making the insist, one day, one community, 1 million meals packed here at State Farm Arena. It's been a really, really fun day. Chris Thomas hanging out with you until the top of the hour right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, when it comes to everybody getting involved and the community really coming together as one, what I've really seen here today that I think stands out the most is everybody gets involved.
Yes.
Race, creed, religion, all of that comes together for one melting pot event, and that's been really cool to see.
It is amazing to see church groups, to see school groups, to see Girl Scout troops, anyone and everyone that you can think of, sports teams who play soccer together. People come out, sometimes just people who are in the neighborhood and who are friends. There's no demographic that this event can't reach. I love to see people who are in line with some people who are elderly and just helping them along, getting them out of the house for an opportunity to volunteer together, to come do something that's free. How great is it to be able to come to something where you can volunteer? But it's not just volunteerism. I like to call it a party with a purpose. you can come be a good neighbor. You can team up with State Farm and the Atlanta Hawks. And then afterwards, you can go to the State Farm Street Fest, which appeals to everyone. Come out, have snacks, have popcorn, have popsicles, do face painting, shoot hoops, dance with the hype squad from the Atlanta Hawks. It just reaches and resonates with absolutely everyone.
All right, before I let you go, if somebody wants to get involved this time next year, what can they do?
I hope for everyone to be able to be involved this year. You can follow the primary news channel for this event, which would be NBA.com, and then also with the Atlanta Hawks for press releases. And typically we do this event around September, so hope to see something soon in the community. You'll also see State Farm and the Atlanta Hawks at community centers across Atlanta. And so the Atlanta Hawks have teamed up to do some court renovations at several community centers, and then State Farm goes in with education and STEAM-based activities. And so what you see today is a greater commitment than just a one and done. You'll see State Farm and the Atlanta Hawks together throughout the year, together making the assist.
Appreciate the time, Tanya. Enjoy the rest of the day, and we're looking forward to being a partner with this for years to come.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate the time. That is Tanya James, Corporate Responsibility Manager here with State Farm. All right, E, I want to get back to some Falcons talk here. I want to play a couple of sounds from you guys, from the likes of Justin Simmons, Troy Anderson, Zach Robinson. So let's fire up some cuts for you here, E. Let's start with, for those scoring at home, cut number 13, and that would be Justin Simmons. Guys, Jesse Bates for this team has been nothing short of a miracle worker since he joined the Atlanta Falcons. He has been an absolute beast. He's been the best at his position. And Justin Simmons was talking about what he means to this Atlanta Falcons squad.
No, you could tell ever since I got here, and I've known Jesse prior to coming to play here, and I've always admired his game and the way he approached it, and I think getting here kind of just like solidified that, right? Seeing how highly he spoke of here, and just seeing his like day-to-day work, and it's no surprise why success follows him, because he breathes that in and out of himself every day when he comes to work, right, in his preparation film study. So those things will continue to happen because he does it the right way, and it's our job as a defense to continue to keep elevating that play from all of us.
Yeah, well said there by Justin Simmons. Basically, follow the leader there, and he's somebody that is obviously going to be needed immensely when you're talking about going up against Patrick Mahomes and the likes of the Kansas City Chiefs. Justin Simmons was also talking about that aforementioned Patrick Mahomes. Why is he the best in the league?
I would say it's the off-schedule plays, right? I think everyone knows when you have a chance to go up against the Chiefs that it's not those first 3 seconds of the play. It's the next, like, 4 to 5 seconds that really matter, right? When the play breaks down, he's able to extend the plays. And you can't get frustrated when they make a big play or he scrambles and he's running around. It's next play mentality, right? And, good thing is when you're playing a team like this that they take a lot of shots and they have a lot of chances to go play the ball. We'll have the same chance to go play the football, right? So we've got to be able to make plays in the football. Stop the run is going to be important, but yeah, they're a good team.
Yeah, obviously Mahomes is the best in the league at what he does, the best player in the NFL, and it's going to take everything we got to stop them on Sunday night. Troy Anderson, a guy we haven't heard much from this season, but playing well so far. He was speaking about these tough games early and how it's been a good test for the team.
I think it was, you're going to find out a lot about yourself early. Definitely have some good teams that we've had on the schedule. And it's a great challenge to test yourself early.
Yeah, I mean, simply said, but very accurately said as well. Had a couple of really tough games coming out of the shoot, and you got a couple of tough more coming up with KC, and then obviously New Orleans, who, again, nobody looked at that team this year and said, yeah, they're going to score 100 points in the first 2 weeks. I know I certainly didn't. Troy Anderson, one more from him, talking about the tough matchup that Kansas City brings.
Yeah, I mean, they do all sorts of different stuff with smoke and mirrors and the motions and shifts. They present challenges to the defense. So we just have to be able to communicate well and talk what we're seeing and trying to limit explosives as much as we can.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when it comes down to it, they're going to get theirs. It's going to be a position where is the offense for the Falcons going to be able to match blow for blow with what the Chiefs are going to be able to do? But I think, listen, the Chiefs are missing Isaiah Pacheco. They're missing Hollywood Brown. They're not coming in here loaded for bear. Mahomes has been just okay. Kelsey's been very subpar to start the season. In fact, Noah Gray's backup's been the primary target more so than Chiefs has than Kelsey has this year, rather, for the Chiefs. So it's going to be a tough matchup. A couple more before we get out of here, and I'll let you hear my conversation with Dominique Wilkins coming up right here next to close out the show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, said, man, you know, it's all this talk of pistol and shotgun and everything else, I didn't realize it was going to cause such a stir.
You know, we were in here and it was a big deal. I didn't even really know, you know, what was going on. And somebody told me before I walked in, you know, I don't have any social media or anything. I didn't even know about it. But we'll operate however we can operate week to week based on, you know, crowd noise, based on the different timings of snap points. We felt like that first week we had a bunch of different, you know, snap points that we wanted to be in the pistol. So we'll be versatile. We'll continue to mix it up and find out whatever's best, you know, that given week versus the given schemes that we're playing against.
E, you believe him? You think he didn't hear that noise? Come on. Everything, every channel, 92.9 The Game, ABC, NBC, ESPN, Fox, everybody was talking about the Falcons' offense. You think he didn't hear that? Come on.
Yeah, you know he heard it. And the bottom line is this. They knew going into that game, if they struggled at all offensively, they were going to be the bearer of the brunt because of what they did in the preseason. The one thing they prayed was that, man, we got to go out here and score some points, and we got to look like we have chemistry and we are fluid motion. And when that didn't happen, they knew on the sidelines, like, man, we are going to get roasted.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Come on, man. I know you're buried in your playbook at Flowery Branch, Zach, but come on. One more before we get out of here. The offense flowed better in week two. Yeah, you're damn right it did.
You know, obviously when you can stay ahead of the chains running the football, that's incredibly important and frees you up to call really anything. So that offensive line, the way they responded across the board was lights out. So that's part of the reason is we wanted to be more efficient on the early downs so that we weren't in those, you know, get back on track and the second and longs and the third and longs. We put ourselves in a ton of those situations against the Steelers, against a very good front that, you know, really hamstrings what you can call. So those guys being able to stay ahead of the chains and have some efficiency on the early downs was the biggest reason why we stayed in a good rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, it was a night and day difference. I mean, I think a lot of that had to do with the offensive line playing much better, but also some of it had to do with not having T.J. Watt wrecking your game plan, because he certainly did that in week one. All right, when we get back, we're going to wrap this puppy up. If you missed my conversation with Dominique Wilkins, you're going to hear that coming up. The Hawks all-time legend got a chance to get a little exclusive interview with him, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And we'll hand things off to Grant McCauley and From the Diamond as we head towards 1 million meals packed. Make the assist one day, one community, 1 million meals here at State Farm. Been a blast hanging out with you all Saturday afternoon long. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 On the Game. Chris Thomas with you for just about another 10 minutes, wrapping up a great day here at State Farm Arena. 800,000 meals packed. Make the assist one day, one community, 1 million meals. Been an absolutely awesome time here. It's been like a concert. It's been a charity event. It's been meeting a whole bunch of really cool people. Had a bunch of really great interviews today, including Dominique Wilkins, which you'll hear in just a second. Dyson Daniels. Had our buddy Joe DeLeon, Lauren Williams, Caleb Johnson, Tanya James from State Farm. Man, it has been an absolutely jam-packed 4-hour show here with you. So it's a very rare day for me that I get to interview an Atlanta legend such as this, and it was my great opportunity to get to spend a couple of minutes with Dominique Wilkins. Here's my conversation with him talking about both today's event and the state of the Hawks.
All right, back here on 92.9 The Game. It is the Million Meal Pack at State Farm Arena, a great cause, great people participating all day long. This guy does not need an introduction. I'll give him one anyway. How about a 9-time All-Star? How about a Hall of Famer? How about the greatest Hawk to ever suit up? Dominique Wilkins with me on 92.9 The Game. Neek, how important is it for days like this for the community to come together?
Well, it's always great when you can give back to the community. You know, we have, a social responsibility to try to help those who can't help themselves. And so this is great to see so many people come together for a worthy cause. So it's good work. It's great work.
Absolutely. The charity component, you can never go too far in the great city of Atlanta. You know, a lot of people need help, but it's guys like yourself and leaders in the community that are able to make sure that Atlanta gets what it needs.
Well, yeah, you know, it takes a collective effort, you know, overall to bring about change. And if you believe in a cause that's going to help people help themselves, I think, again, that social responsibility that we put together is going to bring a lot of peace in a lot of families.
After your playing career, obviously charity has been a big component mm-hmm. for you. How important was it for you to spread that message after your playing career was over?
It was pretty easy. It was pretty, you know, because I lived it, you know, growing up. You know, mom raising 8 kids on her own. So I've seen the hardships and the problems that people go through. So being a part of charity is something that I've been a part of even before I retired.
How about this year's team? It's going to be interesting, Neek. We got a couple of new guys coming in. They handed the keys over to Trey. What are your expectations? You'll be calling all these games.
Well, you know, the thing is that they're going to have to come together as a unit and bring some, hopefully you can have chemistry early because you got a lot of new guys, like you said. So it's going to be interesting to see how quickly they fit in. So I think we're going to be a really good team, but we're going to go through some learning curves as well.
How important is it to regain this building as a true home field advantage?
Well, anytime you can play home and you can establish yourself as a worthy foe here on your home turf, it's really important because it gives you and helps build that confidence. And so hopefully we can get that early.
How important do you feel like it is for the organization to look at their superstar this offseason and say, hey, Trey, we're giving you the keys to the kingdom. This is your squad now.
Well, the thing is, it's much more than that. It's we have so many different pieces to this team. You got Jalen Johnson. You still got Capella here and Hunter and Bogey Elder. So you got a lot of pieces that it's already played together. And so it's got to be done collectively.
Talking with Dominique Wilkins here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, you and Bob Rathman and the whole crew are mm-hmm. going to have a very, very interesting season ahead mm-hmm. of you guys. When it comes to going on the road, what challenges does it present for a young squad like the Hawks are going to have this year?
Well, it's just focus. It's just focus on the road. You got to be more focused on the road than you do at home because you're going into hostile territories, and so you got to be willing to stay focused and play at the level of expertise that you know your coaches and organization you know demands that you do. But because at the end of the day, it's about winning. That's all it's about.
Head coach Quinn Snyder really has the reins of the program now, his identity imprinted on the team. What have you seen so far from him?
Well, Coach Snyder, I love Coach Snyder. You know, not just a coach, but as a friend and as a guy who's a basketball enthusiast, who understands the game, who's played the game. So, you know, he know what he has. He know what he has to do to get this team to the level of trying to win on that next level.
Last one for you here, a little fun one. What is your favorite memory so far in this arena, even a charity event or a game that you've called?
Oh, man, I've called a lot of games. I had a lot of favorite games. Probably the games in the playoffs when they won 60-plus games. You know, that was a great year when they got to 60.
Yeah, that was a special season. Unfortunately, couldn't bring it home. Maybe they'll bring it home this year, Neek.
Hey, take it one step at a time and give yourself a chance. That's all you can do.
Absolutely. Appreciate the time.
No doubt.
All right. Bye.
That is the great Dominique Wilkins there exclusively here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen, I don't know what the Hawks are going to be next season. Neither do you. Neither does anyone within the sound of my voice. It is going to be an absolute mystery what this team brings to the court this coming season. But we know they have Trae Young. They went all in on him. We know they have Jalen Johnson. Hopefully he becomes that full-time second superstar. I had Dyson Daniels on earlier in the show. He's going to hopefully bring a defensive dimension to this team that they have not had in quite some time. And we'll see what happens. But everything's up in the air for this team. If they won 35, 36 games, I wouldn't be surprised. If they won 45, 46 games, I wouldn't be surprised either. Just all depends on how it shakes out. All right, let's finish up with some Falcons talk here. E, final prediction time. It's interesting. If you told me after week one that the Falcons would have a real shot to beat the Chiefs, I would have laughed you out of the room. But then we saw what happened on that final drive and the way that the defense played in week two, and the entire dynamic has shifted. The Atlanta Falcons are welcoming in the two-time Super Bowl champion, and there is no reason to think that they can't hang. I'm not saying they're going to win the game. I'll make my final prediction in a second. But I'm just saying that it's absolutely possible and maybe even plausible that they should be in this one until the wire. E, what is your head telling you? What is your heart telling you?
My head tells me that they'll give a great effort, but I don't think they can go score for score and blow for blow with the Kansas City Chiefs. And if it comes down to a last drive, unfortunately, unlike Jalen Hurts, I don't see Patrick Mahomes throwing an interception on a final drive. So if we're going to win this game, we cannot make it one score. We cannot give Mahomes the chance to do what he's done throughout his whole career and have some fourth quarter magic. We got to dominate the time of possession, establish the run game, and have a two-score lead going in or going into the final stages where we can get the ball back and say, guess what, we can run this clock out.
Yeah, it's going to be a really tough task in order to do so, but I think a couple of things work in the Falcons' favor. Again, couple of big pieces missing on offense for the Chiefs, including on the offensive line, but running back Isaiah Pacheco is out, and wide receiver Hollywood Brown is going to be out for a while. So limited offensive weapons, not necessarily that hasn't stopped Patrick Mahomes before, but limited offensive weapons combined with a shaky-ish, at best, offensive line, I think the Falcons' defense is going to have an opportunity to keep this game in control. What I mean by that is exactly what he was just talking about. Don't make it a situation where they hit you with a 17-6 run over the course of a quarter and a half, and you find yourself down by two scores, almost three, as this game starts to chug into the fourth quarter. You got to keep this thing close, and you got to keep it the momentum on your side as the game ends, because, again, he was right on his point as well. Mahomes is the master of the game-winning drive. We saw Kirk Cousins pull it off to perfection. He took a page out of Mahomes' book on that one, because that is what Mahomes has done better than any quarterback in the league since he entered the league. My final prediction, I think I'm going to have to agree with E on this one. I always keep it real with you guys. I think the Falcons are going to put up a hell of a fight. It's going to be another showcase game on Sunday Night Football where they show the world that we are in this thing. We are going to be in the division race. We are going to be in the conference race. And we can hang with the big boys in the NFL. But I see them losing by 3 or 4 points. I think the spread is a fair one at 3. Think about that in general, guys. Like, before you hang your head and say, Turtle, why aren't you picking the Falcons? The Falcons are only three points less than the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. Think about, let that sink in for a second. Think about where you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, if I told you that coming into week 3 of the NFL season, the Kansas City Chiefs coming off back-to-back Super Bowl victories were coming into your house, and you were only a 3-point dog. I think that's a pretty damn good spot to be in. All right, it has been an absolutely phenomenal afternoon here with all of y'all. Thanks to all my guests, Dominique Wilkins, Dyson Daniels, Caleb Johnson, Joe DeLeon, Lauren Williams, Tanya James. Man, it has been an absolute blast here hanging out. They are closing in on 1 million meals packed. They're going to hit that goal and then some. So if one last time, Chris Thomas with you on 92.9 The Game. Make the assist. One day, one community, 1 million meals packed here at State Farm Arena. I'll talk to you guys next week.